have been together now for over 2 years. Either I keep getting better and showing you value, or you're just a glutton for punishment. Let's get to it. Welcome, welcome, welcome! Another fabulous episode of IBF On Demand. I'm your mature and resident Punisher-in-Chief and host, Eric Wilson. You can find me at eric@ibf.org. That's eric@ibf.org. Thanks for the follows and subscribes. Find me on LinkedIn, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Check out IBF On Demand. And please think about sharing it. We need to grow our market and grow our influence. Grow our tribe, and the only way we get there is your help at this point. I've done everything I can do, so I'm really leaning on you to help get the message out about fostering the growth of demand planning, supply planning, predictive analytics, S&OP, and related fields. That's all what IBF is about. That's all what this podcast is about. And to help us along the way, we have a sponsor, Arkiva, driving business transformation by solving what others cannot. Thank you, Arkiva, for being a wonderful sponsor. I said we've been around for over 2 years. They've been around the entire time as well. So I did mention IBF. Please check them out. IBF.org. You can find a lot of great content, a lot of great information there. They have a vast body of knowledge. If you're not a member, become a member. At least the minimum, sign up for the email blast so you can be informed of everything that's going on. There's also a few events coming up. We're going to be in Prague in May, so check out that event if you want a boot camp, supply and demand boot camp in May in Prague. And then in June, we're going to be in Chicago. And I mentioned that that's going to be a pretty big event. It's a global S&OP best practice event. I'm going to be kicking it off, but I'm just one of dozens of speakers, practitioners, subject matter experts who are talking about case studies, what's happening in S&OP, a whole 3 days devoted to sales and operations planning, IBP, S&OE, whatever you want to call it. It's devoted to best practices in the field. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to have a very special gift for some of the people who are there and come up to me and said, you've seen me on the podcast. IBF done a lot of research. One of the things we do, and we provide it free for members. Wink, wink. But research has found that the benefits of sales and operations planning, the benefits of IBP, S&OP, by the way, first of all, part of our research, there's zero correlation between what you call your process and the advantages you get. The benefits you're getting from it and what you call it, zero correlation. What matters is what you do. That's what matters. So I'm not going to get into details of one's different than the other because it's not. So S&OP, IBP, all of the above acronyms, the real benefit kicks in at a next level and above is what we've seen. So you really don't see a lot of the benefits until you get to that next level. And unfortunately, the majority companies out there, when you account for the ones that don't have anything, you account for the emerging ones just starting a process, you account for the ones that just have the essential items that aren't quite to that next level. When you add up all those companies, it's over two-thirds of the companies out there. So two-thirds of the companies out there are not seeing tangible or any kind of large benefits from their S&OP process. And we've known that for decades. I wrote an article about that close to 10 years ago, 17 years ago. I wrote an article about that at that point, stating exactly that is most companies wasn't seeing the benefits and what do we need to do about it. So there's been countless surveys done on it. IBF's done for, and also, I mean, I'm not the only one saying it. I can't, you know, say I'm the only one that's been saying it because there's a lot of other people who have been saying the same thing. I see articles saying, is it time to do something else? There's other large, not as relevant companies as talking about S&OP that have their own maturity models that do their own surveys and they see the same exact results. So it's nothing new. It's not shouldn't be a surprise to you that majority two-thirds of you out there are not seeing the benefits of doing an S&OP IBP process. So I would look at your own process and see where you are from a maturity standpoint. There's a free online maturity assessment you can do at IBF.org. So check that out. It's a self-assessment, but it can get you in the direction of understanding exactly where you are, comparative to your peers and everybody else as well. It will put you in one of four categories, either an emerging, essential, next level, or vanguard. You want to be that next level of vanguard. Statistically, half of you will be in the essential or below. That's the way it works. That's the way math works. But see where exactly you are. You can do the self-assessment. If you want to go one step further, you want to do a true audit of your S&OP process, I can help with that as well. Reach out to me at eric@ibf.org or reach out to IBF, ibf.org, info@ibf.org, wherever you want to do, reach out. You can go online, send me an email. It's a third-party, unbiased, I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not trying to sell you software or anything of that sort. We're a membership organization. We're going to look at your compared to what other companies are doing as best practices, audit you compared to those, audit you compared to what we see as measurable results, and be able to really quantify where you are in your journey and find some strengths, but also gap, almost like a SWOT analysis that you can do for your S&OP process. We can help you provide that from, as I said, an unbiased third party. Sometimes that's a good approach to really judging your S&OP process, where it is, and where kind of results you're getting. And that's exactly what we'll be able to do with an audit. So check that out, either IBF.org, the assessment maturity, or email me if you just want more information, eric@ibf.org. Happy to find you for more information, because we're going to get into some of the big challenges. But the reason I'm talking about the challenges today is because of what I just said a little while ago. Two-thirds of companies are not seeing results. They don't see the results of their S&OP process. So we need to figure out why, and we need to figure out where you are, and then figure out how to get to that next level and above so we start seeing tangible, meaningful ROI, because there is real benefit to an S&OP process that is done well. So that's the next part we want to kind of talk about today. What are the benefits and what are the challenges you may be facing? There, even at an essential level, there is still viable process, and you're working towards a journey. And one of the things is it is a journey. It's not a project. So it is a continuous process. And if you want to go back to a couple podcasts that I've done in the past that really shine some light on that, I said one of the very, very first podcasts I did, and I apologize for being one of the first podcasts. I've grown and I've improved a lot, so you have to see the old me 2 years ago. But one of the podcasts that's still getting a ton of views is S&OP Dead? So you can go back and check out that podcast, and it will shine some light on exactly what I talked about as far as what companies are seeing, as far as not seeing the benefits, and why it's not dead and why it's still a viable process today, post-COVID, why we're seeing even more of a viable process. The other podcast that I highly recommend, I just did a month or so ago. So you don't have to go back very far that. So I look pretty much the same in this one. And I talk about the top 10 benefits of mature S&OP process. And with that, I lay out tangible evidence of what are the measurable results for a mature S&OP process and what it means to your bottom line. Because there is real money and real benefits to a mature S&OP process. And I said, there's countless little examples we can show from that. So there is advantages to being there. So what we're going to do, so there is a couple different podcasts you can go back and kind of level set if you need more evidence or more information going into some of the challenges we're going to talk about next. Sadly, though, when we talk about those benefits, I said, once again, it is with mature S&OP process. And most S&OP processes are either stalled or struggling for a multitude of different reasons. So what I wanted to do in the remainder of our time together, since we've already talked about the benefits, where you can go back and check out the benefits, since we already talked about the problem, you can go back and check out the problem. What I wanted to do with our remainder time together is really address some of those key challenges and struggles that I either heard about, I've seen personally in implementations, or most of all, our research has uncovered. So with that, I really want to go through the top seven challenges or struggles that we typically see in any S&OP process. The reason why companies are either stuck in essential, stalled, can't really seem to get over top that hump, or even some companies that are really are struggling in an emerging stage are most likely one or if not a combination of some of these top struggles that we see. So with that, I'm going to present each one as a lesson. And lesson number one is don't underestimate the power of a vision. The reason we see a lot of S&OP processes stalled because a lot of people don't know why you're doing it. You don't have a purpose, a mission, a stated reason that really permeates throughout the organization. It's difficult to get people involved with it, and it's difficult to stay on topic. It's difficult to stay on a course for what you want to try to create. If you're trying to create something, you want to understand what it is that you're trying to get to. So you need a vision. So a lot of companies underestimate that power of a true vision of what they're trying to accomplish. Stating that, putting it down in writing, repeating it frequently throughout the organization helps get the S&OP become part of the culture, but also people understand why you're doing it. This, in essence, is that why. And most anything you do, if you don't have the why first, you're never going to truly, you may fall into it, but it's by accident, not on purpose. A good why helps you get to a mature S&OP process on purpose. So we need to not underestimate the power of the vision. And if you want the IBF definition of a S&OP IBP process, it's a structured process, business process. Let's more add that because it's not supply or demand. It's a structured business process that aligns all functional areas around a unified set of assumptions for coordinated decision making. That is my vision of what I want to create. It's a business process. Collaboration, cross-functional, align all functional areas, unified set of assumption, one number attitude, coordinated decision-making. It's not for reporting, it's for decision purposes. That's my vision of what I want to create. Expand upon that, create a vision that fits your organization. Lesson number two, don't forget to align the strategy to the execution. And it really goes both ways. I've seen too many S&OP processes operate almost in a hierarchical silo. They're checking the box. They have a process. We meet. We talk in monthly, and we talk in extended planning horizon, and they do a wonderful job there. But there's no connection to the strategy. The strategy running the organization is totally separate. There's a whole separate meeting for executives that sit in once a month even to really talk about the strategy that's disconnected from the S&OP process. And or the S&OP process has really no connection to operationally and execution what's happening. There's no communication, nothing trickles down, no disaggregation to the planning hierarchy, to and from a planning hierarchy to the operational. So there's nothing really that happens at the execution. What we need to do is making sure that strategy is driving my S&OP, and S&OP can help influence my strategy. And S&OP is driving execution, and execution can help influence my S&OP. Execution influences S&OP. So it really works both directions, strategy to planning to execution, to execution to planning, S&OP to strategy. It works both directions. And when you have that disconnect and the S&OP is operating in its own hierarchical silo, I guarantee it's going to struggle. It's going to stall every time I see the problem, because you really don't have connection not only to the business, but connection to how things are operating and how things are getting done on a daily basis. One of the ways you can really do that is making sure that you are bringing the business strategy, whether it be a cash strategy, cost strategy, revenue strategy, whatever your strategy of your business is, you're bringing that into the discussions in a product demand, supply, resource, and executive review, that you allow the executives to have a say and a key influence into the executive review as well. That's going to bring strategy in. If they're listening and you're bringing the right level of information back, it's going to help influence the strategy going forward. The other thing is bringing it down, either in an S&OE, TAC, tracking action and collaboration, or sales and operations execution, a weekly element of an S&OP process that helps with the management side of things as well, that allows for communication at the lower levels of aggregation, exception-based, because reality will be different than what you planned. So we need to be able to bring in that agility, that planning capability to be able to adapt to reality you're seeing in the short term as well. Those, as you keep seeing those as exceptions, those are then brought back up into the planning so you can set more other buffers, help plan for that strategically going forward, so you no longer have those exceptions happening on a weekly basis. Good planning makes better execution, but also good execution and communication makes better planning. Good strategy makes better planning, but guess what? Good planning influences and makes better strategy then as well. Lesson number three. The problem I generally see, we'll start off with the problem on this one. The problem I'll go into an executive S&OP process, and they're talking about a weighted MAPE or volume plans of how many units we're going to sell in the near future. And they really talk about those things. And the problem is we're not measuring the right things. So lesson number three is measure the right things. How do you run your business? How do executives look at their business? And generally, when I ask that question in a lot of the boot camps or conferences I'm at, when I ask that question, I generally get similar type results back. They look at, profit margin and top market share and top line growth or EBITDA. That's how they're looking at running their business. Those things, those financial metrics, show the health of the organization. That's the reason why we're looking at, these types of inventory turns and EBITDA and market share, because they show the health of the organization. That, a lot of times, is the language that executives will be speaking. So if we're measuring the right things, that allows the executives to be part of it so they can understand the impact to the business. If we go in measuring things that only matter functionally, we're measuring things at the wrong level, at a functional level or an operational level, and we're not measuring strategic type of things, and we're not measuring and talking the right level of business type of KPIs, we're not measuring the right things, then guess what? You're going to end up with a lot of people disconnected from the impact of what you're doing inside of the S&OP process. So one of the big reasons why I see S&OP processes stall is because you continually talk about the wrong things when you get into the S&OP reviews. Measuring the right things allows you to connect what you are doing functionally, but what you're doing in an S&OP process to the results to the business. And that's where you really need to get to in a mature S&OP process. One of the things we see in a mature S&OP process, we look at the KPIs. And if the KPIs are business level KPIs, they are balanced KPIs, they're cross-functional KPIs, check. That's a bonus for them. If we get into an organization and we're looking at functional operational KPIs, looking at, if this production rate and things of that sort, looking at, forecast errors, one of the big ones that I hear, those could be functional KPIs that may have a point in a demand review, but you need to be able to connect them to inventory, cost, revenue, service. If you're not connecting functional KPIs to more strategic KPIs, you're not measuring the right things. So one of the things I see, we have to measure the right things. Number four, and this one is the top of most people's list. I put it number four because I really see these kind of as the order of importance in my own experience and what we see. That said, if you were to Google, you know, challenges in S&OP, or if you were to, you know, list of, you know, why S&OP failed, multiple different ways you can put in your prompts, you're going to get back, at the majority of them are going to get back, the number one answer is lack of executive engagement or involvement, or no executive sponsorship. That becomes number one on most people's list. I put it down number four for a couple different reasons. One is because I see this more as a symptom a lot of times than a fault. That said, absolutely, there are organizations out there, this is a problem. There are executives, because of culture, because of their micromanagement, you're never going to get them to a strategic level. You're never going to get them a buy-off onto the process. Yes, unfortunately, this is a number one problem. And without it, it becomes the number one problem. The reason I have a number four is because the majority that I see, that's not the issue. The majority of the issue is not the executives. The executives not being there is a symptom, not the cause. What do I mean by that? I'm all about personal responsibility. And if I'm running an S&OP process and I don't have a vision and there's no really understanding of why we're doing this, and I'm going in and I'm talking at the wrong level of aggregation, I'm talking about what's happening in the near future, I'm not talking in the right language, I'm talking in units and forecast error and capacity, discussions. I'm talking at the wrong level of aggregation. I'm talking about units and, individual items. I'm talking at lower levels of aggregation in the near future. There's no real vision. And then finally, there's no real alignment to strategy. There's no decisions being made. It's a purely reporting. I'm going in, it's more of a functional process that I'm going in and just reporting what we decided to do that month, and I want people to hear what I'm saying. That becomes a lot of S&OP processes I go into. I go into S&OP processes and I've seen problems 1, 3, 2, 3 already occur, and then they're surprised the executives aren't in the room. I got news for you. If that's your S&OP process, they don't need to be in the room. An executive S&OP process is probably the one of the most expensive meetings you're going to have every month. Think about that. There has to be a return on the investment of their time being in that meeting. So if you have an S&OP process that has a good vision, talking at the right level of aggregation, talking at the right strategically, attached to the strategy of the organization, biased towards decision-making, talking the right language and the finances and what healthy the organization, translating plans into what it means to the organization and impact to the organization, guess what? I see executives start to show up because that's where they get information and that's where they can contribute to making the company better, because that's really what they want to do. And it becomes a venue that helps enable that for them. They're not dumb. They can see that and they want to be part of that. So it really works both ways. Yes, number four on my list, get executive sponsorship, get executive engagement. That is a must for the long-term maturity and success. You're not to become a mature S&OP process without them. But cautionary tale to you out there, make sure you're doing what you can to get them involved as well. The next lesson we want to talk about then is use the time to encourage decision making. A lot of times we see these S&OP processes become reporting meetings. We're not a meeting. It's a review and it's part of a cycle. It's the product to demand, to resource, to executive. all those feed the next cycle. It is a cycle. And the reason we're having that cycle is because decisions are being made. Decisions are being made at each review. In demand, we're making key decisions, driving toward one number. In supply, we're looking at optimizing our resource. In product, we're figuring out our brand strategy. There's decisions being made in each step, culminating in what the best decisions for the company are at that. So we're using the time with a bias towards decision making. Where I see companies stall is they create a deck of 100. I've seen companies come in with over 100 slides. And I always get the same excuse from everyone that I've gone in and done these audits for. And they show me their deck and it's 100 slides. And they know I'm going to say something about that. And they always give the excuse up front. It's like, well, we don't go over them all. A lot of them are for informational use only, just so we can get the information out. Still, you're overwhelming the audience. It becomes a reporting type of process. There's a difference between communication and just pure reporting. If you need 100 slides to do your reporting, one of the things I recommend for that, work on the analytics, the data, the visibility side of things. Make data more governance of data, make democratize your data. More people have access to the views they want in real time, and everyone's looking and understands what they're looking at. So work on the visibility and the data side, not creating 100 slides because someone had to create that deck. What you need to do is you have the right information at the right level to be able to make the right decisions. That's what we're trying to do in these reviews. So have a conscious effort for what you need to bring in, what information, not from a reporting and every piece of information, have the right information to be able to make the right decisions. That's what you're trying to do. And it takes a conscious effort. When you start looking at 100 slides, even if you're not looking at them all, you're falling into the trap of becoming reporting. If you're looking at too granular of information, which is the reason why you need a lot of slides a lot of times, you're not looking at the right information and it becomes reporting. Aggregation helps. Strategic and having the right inputs helps. Think about those aspects to really structure what you need to be able to bias your process towards decision making. Because one of the reasons why I see it stall is they become reporting processes. Number 6 on our list then as well is be ready for change. I say that because as much as S&OP is a structured process, you need structure to it. You need cadence. It's a rhythm. I preach that. That is an important aspect of a mature S&OP process. You go in and I know every Tuesday, first, Thursday of every month is going to be my demand review. The next Tuesday is going to be, I know that. It has structure, it has cadence. I've already had my meetings planned out for the next year. Yes, absolutely. The more structure, the better. That said, I can see people get too rigid and try to do too many things by the book. Yeah, I'm going to have a book on this in the near future. So, yes, buy the book, pun intended, I agree with that statement. But one of the things I stress in that book is there's adaptations to meet your organization where it's at. And things will change. COVID showed us that. There's going to be other things that change. You need to hold on to the fundamentals. The fundamentals never change. The fundamentals have been good around for over a decade. The fundamentals don't change. And that what makes S&OP viable. But what makes S&OP useful is you do need to be able to adapt to your organization and change. Don't be so rigid that you don't adapt to your organization and adapt to what you need now. You need to have that in place as well. Balancing that becomes a good, mature S&OP process. And the last tip I want to give you in passing, this one's an easy one, is treat it like a process, not a project. One of the main reasons why I see a S&OP process get off the ground get momentum. There's a whole lot of excitement onto it. They check the box, done, and the key people walk away, or they don't give it as much attention now because we already did that, and it becomes just a stagnant, stalled process. S&OP is a process. You can't operate it as a project. You have to operate it as an ongoing process. And with that comes ongoing process improvement. One of the key aspects of the Vanguard S&OP process, the ones at the top of their game, the key thing that we see with every one of those is they do more of the fundamentals more often, yes. But the key thing we see is a culture of we want to keep getting better. Yeah, we're at the best, but we want to keep being better. That is what we see with the Vanguard S&OP processes. Never stop your journey. Never stop moving towards. Don't be satisfied with where you are. And don't give up on what you had. The biggest reason why we see S&OP processes stall, they treat it as a project. And some they either walk away or just assume that it's working. No. We have to keep giving it that love. You have to keep working on it to get better. Well, that's a wrap for me. I'm going to go find someone else I can punish by talking to, maybe my daughter. My name is Eric. You can find me at eric@ibf.org. That's eric@ibf.org. Thank you, Arkiva, for driving business transformation by solving what others cannot. Thank you very much, Arkiva. Thank you, IBF, as well. I said check out their maturity model. It's free online. Can't beat the price. If you wanted to bring me or somebody else in, another subject matter expert for a third-party unbiased audit, that's available as well, ibf.org, or email me at eric@ibf.org. I can help you out with that as well. That does cost some money, but it's very small, and there's huge return on the investment of that audit. I've seen a lot of companies that really jump-started an S&OP process because of that audit that's done. So check out the free one or contact me. Check out IBF, everything else IBF has to offer at ibf.org. And remember, no matter how mature you are, and don't forget, wash your hands.